From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Each year, the La Crosse community celebrates the life and legacy of civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and recognizes local leaders who are working for justice in the La Crosse area. This year's featured speaker started working for civil and human rights as a teenager in Selma, Alabama during the 1960s. She'd participated in the historic march from Selma to Montgomery and experienced police violence firsthand. Joining us today is author and activist Linda Blackman Lowry. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So as I said, you'll be presenting at this year's Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration here in La Crosse. Can you share a little bit about what you hope to speak about?
Well, my theme for the entire year of 2020 is history, past, present, and future. The year 2020 is a year of vision. And when you go to an optometrist and he lets you know that you have 20/20 vision, that means you can see clearly now. So I will be speaking to people about seeing clearly the path to the voting booth, the avenues to the different issues that are out there that they can take part in, and encouraging young people especially to let them know that they have a voice. It's a powerful voice, and they need to be using their voice to make change.
How do you think history, especially looking back to, you know, the civil rights movement, how do you think knowing that history helps illuminate our future?
Well, history follows history. And during the civil rights movement, children were pivotal in two major parts of legislature during the 60s. That was the Children of Birmingham in 1963. They were attacked, they were jailed, attacked by dogs and water holes and beaten. They were fighting nonviolently for desegregation laws. And those desegregation laws were passed in 1964. As the Children of Selma in 1965 was marching, going to jail, attacked on a bridge, they were fighting for voting rights for our parents and this country. And those voting rights was passed after 5 months of going to jail and being beaten and marching on August 6, 1965. And it gave everyone in this country, especially women, the right to vote. So I parallel those two things and validate the actions of children and how children can be a part of using their voice nonviolently for different issues.
You were one of those children in Selma who were participating in civil rights activism. Can you share a little bit about what your first experience was participating in activism and why you wanted to get involved?
My first experience came when I was 7 years old, when my mother died on September the 19th, 1957. I'm the oldest of four. My grandmother and the older people were talking about she wouldn't have died if she hadn't been colored. Now, growing up in a segregated society, I knew in Selma, white people didn't like black people and black people didn't like white people. But at the age of 7, I saw in my 7-year-old mind that white people hated black people so much that they would let my mother die. And I vowed at the age of 7 that when I got big, I would change things, that nobody would ever have to grow up without a mommy again because of the color of her skin. I didn't know getting big would be at the ripe young age of 13. When I first heard Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speak, and he was talking about our parents getting the right to vote and getting it nonviolently. And he said in his speech that you can get anybody to do anything with steady, loving confrontation. And I heard that, but the second time he said it in his speech, I distinctively heard him say, "Linda, you can get anybody to do anything with steady, loving confrontation." And I remembered my vow at age 7. And I jumped up saying, "Oh, yes, that's how I'm going to do it." And being in church, of course, my grandmother pulling me down and saying, "Sit down and shut up, child." But I realized then that all the people in this church was with Dr. King and what he was talking about. And also, I realized that that was a way that I could help make change. We were trained in the principles of nonviolence, and we started marching on January 3rd, 1965. And we marched and went to jail and did the things we needed to do to keep our parents from losing their job. And in 1965, we realized, the young people realized, that if our parents lost their job, it would break up the family, much like what is happening at the borders today. So that's why before my 15th birthday, I had been jailed 9 times, twice in a state prison camp, which was a total of 9 days. Marching on what is now known as Bloody Sunday, where over 700 marchers were attacked by Alabama state troopers and the Dallas County Sheriff and his posse in an attempt, in our first attempt, to walk from Selma to Montgomery to let then-Governor George Wallace know that even death, and this was after the death of a young man named Jimmie Lee Jackson, who had been shot in a small town called Marion, Alabama, about 30 miles from Selma, and later died in the hospital in Selma. So this march was going to be in his honor, and to let the then Governor George Wallace know that there was no stopping us.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking to author and civil rights activist Linda Blackman Lowry. She's the featured speaker at La Crosse's annual Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration. Linda, I wonder what the adults in your life, your grandmother, perhaps you've mentioned her, what they thought of your involvement in these marches and demonstrations. Were they scared for you? Did they support you?
my grandmother and my father and the adults, period, were very supportive of us. My father was more frightened for us, marching and going to jail. He would always say, if you see yourself in danger, turn around, come home. I don't want you hurt. But going to jail, one, was a way of getting out of school, but two, was a way of showing that we were determined and committed to doing what we thought and knew would bring about change and would help, our parents. And we didn't know, me, myself, didn't know it would help people around the country. I just thought seriously that if my parents, my father and my grandmother, got the right to vote, and the other adults in Selma and Dallas County in the state of Alabama, if they got the right to vote, it would change things, and they could vote in people that would help, people of color.
As you mentioned, you participated in the march on what's now known as Bloody Sunday, that ended in mass police brutality on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. In today's world, where communities continue to struggle with officer-involved violence and shootings, what lessons do you think people can take away from that march and maybe other experiences during the civil rights movement?
I think that now people need to seriously educate their children on how to protect themselves. When you leave out of your house each day, you don't know what or who you're going to face. And if you're faced with police, period, even if it's for a traffic stop, you should at least remember the nonviolent. Remember to be nonviolent and not confrontational, but with steady level confrontation, I believe you can win. So I think people should teach their children what to expect out there in that world every day, to encourage them, to make them stronger, and what they're going to be facing. Because what we face is not what children are facing now. We didn't face people coming into schools, shooting up the school, and we didn't face that kind of violence. We just faced the hatred of racism, and I want people to know that racism comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes, and to let their children, to educate their children on it. We fail to educate our children on what is happening a lot that tries to destroy, our values. That's why I believe the prisons are so full, and we have so many children dropping out of school and different things like that. So I think people need to educate and encourage their children.
You mentioned you hope to encourage young people to exercise their voice in your address to the La Crosse community. And I wonder if you can talk about your perspective on, you know, some of the ways we're seeing youth today really stepping up to exercise their voice and organizing marches on things front like climate change and stricter gun laws. You know, in what ways do you see maybe similarities between the youth of today and, you know, youth organizers in the civil rights movement?
The youth of today, I want to say this. I love the song Glory from the movie Selma. In it, Common and John Legend says, take the wisdom of the elderly and the energy of the young. And I paraphrase and say, take the wisdom of the elderly, the energy and knowledge of the young people. Because we don't give young people that acknowledgement that they do have knowledge, and that knowledge collectively could change it could change the world. See, in 1965, if someone had told me during the 2020, that I would still be fighting nonviolently for basic human rights. And that's what we are doing now, because all the issues out there, the climate, the women's health issues, the gun violence, gay rights issues, all those issues are human issues, and it affects everybody. What could happen to me could easily happen to you or anyone else. So we need to get back to just being human and recognizing human rights, period.
I want to return to Martin Luther King's words of study, loving confrontation that you shared earlier, and ask, what does study, loving confrontation look like today?
It looks like the young lady named Greta that's fighting for climate change, the young people that has taken on the NRA to change gun laws and being successful in many ways. That's what it looks like. It looks like young people going door to door, handing out literature for their favorite candidate. In an election, it looks like we're going back to grassroots organizing, and that's what is needed. And I say grassroots organizing because in the 60s, people came to Selma, and people of Selma went door to door trying to educate and encourage people to register to vote. And I love it when I hear people say, we registered 150 people today. And that's good. I love that. But my question to them is, how many of that 150 will go to the polls at any given election and vote? Do you follow up with that 150 after you registered them? Do you educate them
to who is on a ballot, what is on a ballot when they get to the polls. If they get to the polls and their name is not there for them to be able to vote at that particular precinct or whatever, what do they need to do to be able to vote? So young people, I think, will bring the circle of human rights to will make it a full circle. And I hope to see that in my lifetime. But steady, loving confrontation, I have used that in my life since the age of 13. And I am now 69. And it works perfectly for me. It's all in how you what those three words mean to you, and you will know how to use them when you recognize the meaning of them to you, the individual.
Very briefly, as we wrap up here, I wanted to take a moment to talk about your book, Turning 15 on the Road to Freedom, which is now, as you mentioned earlier, before our conversation, being turned into a play. You know, I wonder if you could talk about maybe why you feel people are interested in these stories. Maybe what's driving that hunger to hear these stories, not only in your book, but brought to life on the stage.
This is, to me, it is what is needed now, especially among young people, to encourage them and show them that young people do have a voice, and to encourage the, and to motivate and encourage the older people to get out and use their voice as well.
Linda Blackman Lowry is an author and civil rights activist from Selma, Alabama. She joined us today ahead of her address at this year's Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration in La Crosse. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by senior news editor and producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, including our conversation about a new federal grant awarded to communities along the Kickapoo River to address flood mitigation, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.